Attention musicians of all levels. It's not always easy picking out a song by ear. Sometimes you need a little help. Well, I have the app for you. Whether you're a professional musician or a beginner, Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. For just $2.99, you get the chords and tabs on guitar, bass, or ukulele for over a million songs. They're all available at your fingertips. You also get tools like a tuner, metronome, chord library, lessons, videos, and more. You can find out any song you want. It also has like transpose button. It has auto scroll that you can change the speed to so you can play along with the song. A lot of the songs have the lyrics there so you can sing along with them. Ultimate Guitar is an amazing app. Just go to ultimateguitar.com or download the app to your phone today and start playing. Start playing any song you want. Ultimate Guitar, that's the place for you. Let's get down. Hey gang, are you a fan of podcasts and Law & Order SVU? Well, I have the show for you. The seminal SVU podcast, Munch My Benson, is the twisted love child of co-hosts Adam Schwitters and Josh Dugan, celebrating the splendid and often wildly inappropriate lunacy found only on Law & Order SVU. Each week, Adam and Josh walk you through a random episode of SVU, all while sharing their smart and hilarious insight. Find Munch My Benson wherever it is you stream your podcast, or go to munchmybenson.com for more info. That's Munch My Benson.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time. How did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Howdy.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you did this week. I want to thank all the people that had such nice words to say about our puppy on Facebook. Yeah, go to our Facebook page, you can like it, How Did I Get Here? And you should like it anyway. You'll get to keep up and know when shows are dropping and know what's going on with Rosie the dog. I'll post a new photo of her today. She's back on her pillow. She lays on this pillow when I start doing podcast stuff and just goes to sleep. What a great dog. Fantastic. Hey, gang, if you're listening to this show the day that it comes out, Friday, September 10th, I'm playing tonight at the Hyatt Regency here in Austin. They do a series, Music Firsthand has a series called Regency Rhythms, where they have a songwriter come out and play from 6 to 8. So tonight I'll be playing from 6 to 8 over at the Hyatt Regency on the lake. It's going to be beautiful. It's a nice night. It's a really cool morning, which is really good. Anyway, excited for that free show. I'll post a link to it on our How Did I Get Here Facebook page as well. All right? Had a great time playing with Scrappy Judd Newcomb on Tuesday at the Continental Club. I'll be playing there every Tuesday this month with him at 10 p.m. I'll be playing the keys. Sorry, I'm adjusting this microphone because it's a little low. Anyway, had a great time playing keys with him this last week. So if you do live in Austin, you're a fan of Scrappy Judd Newcomb, come on out to Continental Club on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m., all right? It's been a good week. I've done podcasts. I've done music. I've done a lot of hanging out with Rosie. Whole lot of Rosie! Right? Whatever. I don't know what's going on with my voice. I guess I should warm it up before my gig tonight. Gang, I have a great show for you today. Like a rockin' country artist. Well, I guess he's an Americana artist is what we would call him. His name's Jason Harrell. He's got a brand new record out. It's called The Other Side. Just came out this summer. It was mixed by my friend Andy McIntyre. You've heard him on the show a couple of times. Fantastic record, man. He's got a song out called I Hope She Dies, which I think I think is like the kind of song that would get traction, like radio traction or something. There's a great video for it. I Hope She Dies. You can find him at jasonrayharrell.com. Enter the Ray. jasonrayharrell.com. Jason Harrell is how you can find him on Spotify and all those things. The Other Side is the name of the album. Started out as a fiddle player. He saw saw a guy playing a fiddle in his grandpa's his grandpa had like a store in Cisco, Texas, which is in West Texas in between like Fort Worth and Abilene. So it seems like a pretty far out place and kind of an oddball place. But his dad had a store, or his grandpa had a store that he sold and bought stuff. I guess kind of like almost in a pawn way, but maybe a little more higher scale kind of thing. Saw a guy playing a fiddle, asked for the fiddle, started playing fiddle, ended up playing guitar, getting into rock and roll in his teens, getting into bands, moved down to Austin to go to school at UT. And started playing music and writing songs and stuff. He's a great songwriter. He spends He has a wife. He's got kids. We have a talk about this. It's a pretty serious thing that has been going on with his family. His son Mason is going through some chemotherapy for the third time is what he was saying. So prayers out to him. But Jason doesn't get to play a lot of shows, and tonight he's playing a show at Steamer Lane in Cedar Park. Tonight, Friday, September 10th, doors are at 7:30, show is at 8. Go to steamerlanemusic.com to get your tickets and stuff. Jason's a great songwriter, man. I met him at a party over at my friend Andy McIntyre's house. And not a party, but like a little hangout in Andy's new studio, checking out his new speakers and his stuff. And so we were there checking it out, and Andy had just mixed his record. And this record, The Other Side, is absolutely fantastic. Anyway, I like Jason. I thought he was really good. They played a song from it, and I was like, shit, man, you're awesome. You want to be on the podcast? And he said, yeah. Anyway, you see him tonight, Friday, September 10th, Steamer Lane in Cedar Park. Go to steamerlanemusic.com. He doesn't play out a lot, so this is a big chance to get to see him play. Jason Harrell, The Other Side is the name of the record. You can find him at jasonrayharrell.com. Great conversation. Really sweet dude. Very cool dude. And an amazing songwriter. All right? So without further ado, here's me and my new friend, Jason Harrell. Let's get down.
The one I've heard so long wants to sing a brand new song with a borrowed tune, someone else's words. Yes, she wants
a German Shepherd. That was it's sort of a weird rescue story. Basically, she was my sister-in-law worked at a Sprint store in Elgin, and somebody came in and they're like, just talking to her and telling her that they breed dogs, and they're like, we've got this puppy that we can't sell. And it was really a weird kind of unbelievable story, but they were going to take her to the pound. Supposedly they were breeders, but they couldn't sell this puppy. So they were going to take her to the pound, to the shelter. And so my sister-in-law said, okay, well, we'll just take her. And then I got her from her, but she looks just like straight up German Shepherd, and she is huge.
Huh.
She's probably about 115 pounds.
Jesus. You better not get to 115 pounds, Rosie. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I would show you my little room here, but it's a giant disaster.
Yeah, mine's kind of a disaster too. I was like, I can't believe I'm showing someone where my place is. Dude, this record, The Other Side, is fantastic, man.
Oh, well, thank you.
You have a really fucking great voice, too, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that, like, upon reading about the record, and then you go into the first song, I Hope You Die, or I Hope She Dies, which is, it's not as dramatic as the line, or as the title, right? Once you start listening to your song, you're like, oh, God, thank God it's not like one, I Hope You Die, bitch. You know what I mean?
No.
But then you get to this song called Change My Mind.
Right.
And I think that's the, you obviously, like, you're an artist, a writer, a musician, an accomplished, instrumentalist,
right,
from what I can hear. And,
well, thank you.
And yeah, man. And I, like, went through your Instagram. So you're a great, like, fiddle player and guitar player and stuff. And, but at the core of it, you're a family guy. Right?
Yeah.
You love your family.
Yeah, I am. Right. Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, what you'll spot on my social media for the most part is, especially on Instagram, which is a bunch of pictures of me and my kids, pretty much.
But, like the series where you're waiting at gymnastics and waiting at soccer.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it is.
That's the work,
that's
man.
How it is.
That's the dad just sitting there waiting for you to get done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, the I Hope She Dies song, and a lot of the songs. So pretty much any song that I write that's like a breakup type song, or, you know, bad relationship type vibe to it, I've hijacked those stories from my friends. Like I've never had those kinds of relationships. So it's, but I've been, I guess I'm a good listener because I hear those stories from my friends.
Do they ever,
and the stuff that they've gone through.
Do they ever reach out after they hear the song and go like, Jason, dude, that was private.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No. Well, you know, it's funny. I have yet, and I don't think I ever will, name who exactly I Hope She Dies is for, because it's, you know, it's one of those things where it wouldn't go over well if
right.
person knew. But yeah, no, I mean, it's been pretty good reactions actually from, gosh, there's another song I wrote called Ghost, and I wrote that one really just it started with a line like, sometimes I wonder if I'm even alive, and it was really just this thinking about what it would be like to go through, you know, your life with like not realizing that you're not actually alive. It was really like a sci-fi type idea in my head, but then I turned it into a sad country song. But I had I had a friend who had just gone through, I mean, it was a crazy story, but just a terrible end of a very long-term relationship. And she reached out to me and said she was in tears listening to that song because that's the way she felt in the last few years of her relationship. So I don't know.
It's amazing that we get to do that as artists.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like get in someone's, like not even just their head, like you're getting in their heart.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I didn't know that this was the way to do it. So, you know, I was in a rock band in my 20s.
See, that's another thing, is that there's definitely, sorry, real quick, because when someone listening to your music, you definitely know rock and roll. And then I went through, you were going to go see Blue October, and I was like, all right, so there's,
yeah.
And then I read in the thing that you were into punk pop, you know, when you were a kid,
right,
and all that stuff. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of rock and roll going on.
Well, there is. When I was younger and I was in this rock band, we were together for about 5 years and before we finally sort of fizzled out and gave up on the whole thing. It was actually the end of that band was essentially the end of me kind of trying to focus on music as being my career. I finally like I need to find something more stable. really. I mean, that was that's a long time ago.
But, I talk with myself like once a week.
Yeah.
For the last 40 years.
And if it's not clear from, you know, my social media stuff, I mean, this is essentially, I am not, like, at best you'd call me a semi-professional musician. You know, I do, for the most part of the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, the most shows I've done have been actually as a side guy for Russell.
Right, right.
Russell Boyd. And so I play fiddle and guitar for him. And we were playing, I mean, for me, it was a pretty regular thing. I'm like, you know, every other weekend or so for a while until, you know, pandemic kind of shut everything down. And
but dude, this record sounds like, it sounds like a real record. I mean, you're kind of making it sound like it's like this, like, oh, well, you know, but the songs are fucking great. They're songs that people could cover.
What?
I mean, is that something that you're interested in? Are you interested in like,
absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to have somebody who's actually going to get out there and like, you know, do the grind and put, you know, do my songs and get them
go
to a wider
this,
audience.
Yeah.
Than what that would be like, I would love to have checks in the mailbox, you know?
Sure.
but, you know, so going back to what I was saying, so back in my 20s, I was in the rock thing and I was trying to figure out how to write songs. And it always struck me as like, I had it in my mind, this naive idea that people who wrote songs, all these great songs that I loved, had experienced all the stuff.
Right.
That they
right.
Went,
yeah,
that,
I always
that
think that
about.
Too.
Yeah. Like, well, somebody, I don't know if it's in a song or some interview I read with somebody, they're like, I want to believe that the lead singer wrote the songs and lived everything they wrote about.
Yeah.
You know, like it's kind of like the myth sort of that we all kind of fall into. So I didn't, you know, it was hard to write a good song. I think I remember hearing, was it Willie Nelson or somebody, maybe it's Merle Haggard, I don't know who it was, said something like basically real life doesn't rhyme.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So, but you know, I've learned over the last,
it doesn't.
I've learned over the last few years that you can, you know, you can make a good, heartfelt, like honesty in a song doesn't mean that it's literally what happens step by step, you know, along the way. It's not like you're, presenting documentary evidence of something that happened in your life, right?
Even in the songs that are like documents of your life, there's still some poetry in there because real life doesn't rhyme.
Yeah. 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 But yeah,
How many kids do you have?
I have two kids.
Two kids. Okay. How old are they?
I got Madison, who is 11, going on 17. And she's ridiculous. She behaves like a teenager already. and then I got Mason, who is 10.
Okay.
And Mason's actually downstairs right now. Hopefully we don't get interrupted, but.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, he's done. Yeah. So, you know, when I ran into you at Andy's place, what was that? A month ago?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, the world was different. It seems like, you know, that
we were all hanging out in a room, just chilling out with no masks on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember going back after that, calling my girlfriend because we were meeting up and she was like, how was it? I was like, it was good. I was like, I was just hanging out with people in a room.
Yeah. Right.
Some dudes I'd never even met.
Right. So, you know, lots of stuff has changed since then. And over the last few weeks, we found out some stuff about my kids. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you want to get into this part.
If
you had questions,
let's get into it.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I don't play that many shows. And I've got this one coming up on Friday. I just played one actually with Russell on Saturday, but, things have changed over the last few weeks. My kid has been dealing with, a battle with cancer.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So like he was diagnosed in 2017, went through treatment, went off it for a year, and then they scanned him again, decided he needed to go back on it, went off it for a year and a half. Now he's back on it. So, he's here with me now full time during the day because he can't even go to school. They're getting him started on homebound stuff. So, yeah, just throwing that in there.
Wow,
I guess
that's some real life shit.
Yeah, that's my reality right now. So, you asked me about having people cover my songs. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
get some people out there who can get out.
Definitely,
who can get out there and beat the bricks and get my stuff in front of somebody else. I'd love it.
So you guys have been dealing with this now for like 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, I was trying to figure out the math on it. Cause I know he was 5 when he was diagnosed, but he turned 5. He turned 6 in 2017. So anyway, however that works, it was 2017, the beginning of 2017 when he was diagnosed. Anyway, it's been, pretty difficult. I actually wrote some songs about it.
Are they too hard to put out because they're too real?
No. I mean, I can do them. I had a hard time. The first one I wrote was so I had an album I put out in 2018, but that one for sure was 100% homemade. Like
it totally has a different sound and everything. Yeah.
Not bad. And like you can. Well, thank you. And you could, but you could tell if you listen to the songs one after another, like the volume, the levels are different. Yeah. And, my wife said that I should name that one Coming Out of the Closet, because I recorded it all in the closet.
The wife to want.
Yeah, I know. But I recorded it all in the closet. And so like I would spend hours in the closet doing vocal takes and playing the fiddle in there.
Well, this record, the other side, Andy McIntyre, Andy mixed it?
Yes, sir. And when you say it sounds like a real record, sounds professional, it's all Andy.
It sounds like it's coming out of the radio, you know? yeah, like when you hear it.
I mean, I was blown away. So the way that all happened was I was going to go about it the same way I went about the first one.
With your fiddle.
Right. That's not exactly true. So coming off of 2019, I had been, you know, I've been making a little money doing music with Russell. And so I had set aside some of that stuff I had made from playing with Russell. And I had decided, okay, I've got enough songs for an album. I'm going to go in and make this as good as I can. And I had lined up, I was going to record it at 601 with Eric.
Right.
I had a producer I was going to work with and everything. But then I lost my job, my full-time job, back in the spring of last year. And
what was that?
I was just like, all of a sudden, I worked for the American Cancer Society.
Good. That's awesome.
The whole thing was their donations kind of immediately shriveled up because of the pandemic. They normally have live, like in-person fundraising events and stuff like that. And so that all went away. So I'm sitting at home with nothing else to do for months on end. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and start doing this. And I recorded a bunch of tracks multi-tracks for this one song. And I was trying to figure out how to make it sound better. Cause I do my best, right, when it comes to trying to be an audio engineer, but I don't really know what I'm doing.
Right.
So at some point I talked to Andy and I was like, here, I'm going to send you this mix. Tell me what you think you'd do differently on it. And I sent it over and I think he gave me some suggestions or whatever. And then he's like, hey, you know, why don't you just send me the stems and let me take a stab at it and see what I can come up with. And so he took the songs that the stems that I'd recorded. And I think I may have had to do some retakes of some of the stuff. I can't really remember exactly, but what he sent back to me was something that sounded like it was going to be on the radio. Like, so, you know, if you went back and listened to the album that I put out in 2018 and some of those tracks and then compare it to what with Andy, I mean, that's the difference.
But you're still a great songwriter. Like, I mean, I still hear the songs in there, you know? Fully realize as someone that can't hear the songs in there can hear them now.
Yeah, I think that's the deal. I wish I could, you know, I wish I could kind of turn back time and put the production into those other tracks, and maybe I will someday go back and take some of the ones I really like off that first one and redo them. But yeah, so Andy did that first song, and that it came out so well. I was gonna just put it out as a single, and then I'm like, you know, like what's this gonna cost me to do this for a full album? I asked him, and it's like, I won't say how much it costs, but he gave me a very reasonable rate, knowing my situation. And I've known Andy since back when I was in rock bands in my 20s or whatever. But we weren't really close or anything. I've talked more with Andy over the past year and a half than I ever did that whole time.
Yeah.
You know, the whatever 15 years before that. But
he's a really nice man, Andy. Both of them.
He's
Andy
incredibly
and Lisa, really nice.
Nice
people. I like them a lot. He's real talented too. He should be, I mean, obviously he's got those fancy speakers now in that studio we're hanging out in. So he should be mixing some stuff. Like, he should be mixing a lot of shit. So let me ask you a question, man. Go with this shit. Does it sound like it's going to be on the radio? When I say this shit, I didn't mean shit. These songs. This record sounds like it can go on the radio. I had breakfast with a friend of mine the other day who's like the president of a label that has some country acts, you know, on it and stuff, like Texas country and stuff. And it takes a lot of money to get this song on the radio, even in Texas country radio.
Yeah. That's one of the things I've learned, actually.
Yeah.
Another one of those naive things that I had in my mind, you know, I thought songwriters, I thought songwriters wrote the truth or wrote what they actually experienced. And I also thought that all you had to do was come out with a song that sounded good and, you know, a good song and sounded right. And then, you know, yay, you're good to go.
Now there's like 12 dudes you have to blow.
I mean,
figuratively.
Right, figuratively, but you know, it's true. I mean, gosh, I don't even know. I don't even know what all it takes, and I certainly don't have I'm not out there, you know, doing this every weekend, every 4 or 5 days a week. You know, I got friends who are. Russell does it 4 or 5 days a week, but
yeah,
he's also not doing his own songs. He's a professional musician.
Right. Same here.
Yeah.
Same, I'm in a cover band. That's how I live, and I go play shows, and it costs me a fuckload of money.
yeah. Like, God.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been looking at this show on Friday that I'm about to play. And if I don't get some more ticket sales pretty soon, I'm gonna be eating a bunch of money on this.
I'll tell you what,
on this deal.
I'll put this show out on Friday, and maybe some people will get into it.
Okay, I hope so.
It's not supposed to come out on Friday, but I'll do. I like you. You're nice, and you should have people. I want people to hear this record. You know, for someone that if somebody loves country music, here's a new record for you. This is fucking great.
Thank you.
Yeah, man,
that's awesome. It's funny. It's funny even describing it as country music. I never struck out to be a country artist, right? Like there's one of the songs on there is Save My Life. I don't know if I don't know if you checked that one out.
Yeah, I listened to it.
Okay, it's not, I don't think that song falls into a country category at all.
No, but to me, country music has moved into a space where, like, Americana, to me, is what rock and roll was like 15 years ago.
Absolutely. I was just explaining this to my daughter this morning.
Yeah.
She's like, I was listening to something, I don't remember what it was, and she's like, why do you always listen to country? And I'm like, but this isn't really country music. I can't even remember what it was we were listening to. I was like, this is really country music. And she's like, well, what is it? And I said, well, it's basically rock and roll.
But it's real. It's played by people, you know?
Yeah.
That's what seems to be the difference now. With Americana, just is kind of like, if you are doing something that isn't like Luke Bryan country or...
Right.
Or... I don't even know who a pop person is right now.
I
was
going to
say Katy Perry, but that would definitely make my age. Like, I don't even know if Katy Perry's been on a record in 10 years.
Britney Spears.
Yeah, Britney Spears. It's not Backstreet Boys, man.
Right.
But it's to me, it's real music. And that ends up being Americana. But it does, like, the choruses do... I mean, you do have some, like, country pop-sounding choruses, which is fucking great.
Yeah, and when I... Thank you. And when I said that, I didn't mean to say that I haven't written country songs. It's just to mean that, like, I just recorded another song with Andy. I think we finished it last week. And I would say that I think it sounds a lot like something Blue October would do. I mean, it's got some big floor tom drums going on, this big, giant, like, I don't even know how to, like, soaring, a chorus type thing at the end. And it's just, it's not structured like a country song. I don't know. So I just want to write songs. I think that's my... Like, as an artist, my ambition is to be able to write songs that people connect with, whether that's my friend who calls me up and saying that the song made her cry because it connected, she connected with it, or what, you know, that's like, as an artist, that's it. As a performer, I enjoy doing it. Like, I love playing, but I just don't know if I can, I don't know. Those opportunities for me are pretty few and far between these days.
It's hard nowadays. What's the show on Friday?
The show on Friday is at Steamer Lane. It's a really cool. I would have to describe it as like a backyard concert type thing.
Oh, cool.
So, this couple, I'm blanking on their names. I should remember their names, but anyway, they own it, and it's like this giant. I guess it's like a giant storage building type thing that they made, but they built a stage on it, and they've got, you know, a decent, you know, a nice PA system set up all over, and it's got their landscaping in general is essentially like a stadium seating.
Nice. Yeah.
It's kind of like a little hill amphitheater type thing. Yeah. And so it's not huge. You couldn't fit 1,000 people in there, but you know, you could probably fit, I don't know, 100, 200 people in there. And it's, you know, it's outdoors. So I'm much more comfortable doing a show like that right now.
Of course.
With the situation at home.
Where is Steamer Lane in Hutto or Round Rock?
It's in Cedar Park.
Cedar Park.
Yeah.
Okay. And there'll be ticket information at jasonrayherald.com, right?
Yep. And okay. And you can actually go to, what is it, steamerlane.com, I think, is where you can buy the tickets directly.
Okay. Perfect, man. So people should get out there. You're going to be playing with the band?
I am. Yeah. It's steamerlanemusic.com. I got it wrong.
Steamerlanemusic.com.
Yeah, this is actually going to be the first time I'll have a full band behind me since I played in a rock band. So I just got my friends coming to join me.
That's good, man. That's the best way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
they got your back.
I've been listening to some of your podcasts. I listened to the one with Ray Wiley Hubbard. I went back and listened to that one. And it's funny. I ordered his book after listening to that one.
That book is great, right?
I haven't even started reading it, but I ordered it. My goal is to read it. But anyway, he's like saying he books the bands around the shows or gets the bands.
Yeah.
After he's got the show, then he puts the band together.
Yeah.
And that's what Russell has been trying to do. I'm pretty much the only mainstay in his live shows when he puts a show of original music. But otherwise he's just playing with different drummers. We played with a drummer in Corpus Christi one time that I'd never seen before in my life till we showed up, and I've never seen him since.
I've done that, man. You gotta, man, you roll the dice, you know, sometimes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Dude, let's go. You're from Cisco?
Yes.
Where is that?
Cisco, Texas. So, it's on I-20 between Fort Worth and Abilene.
Okay.
Pretty much in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle, yeah.
I think our claim to fame there is we're the home of Conrad Hilton's first hotel. And
that's pretty cool.
And also the Santa Claus bank robbery. It was a big story from the 30s or something, 1930s. Or like there was a bank robbery that was perpetrated by these guys dressed up like Santa Claus. I can't even remember the whole story, but it was.
So
that's pretty much it.
What years was that? How did you get music then? Like what? Like your parents? Like were they? What did they do?
My mom's a school teacher. And my dad worked at he's a metal fabrication. They're both retired now, but he worked in the same place for 30 years. And my mom taught school there in Cisco. So the origins of me becoming a musician was basically my grandpa. My grandpa, who was also not a musician, but he would describe himself as a trader. Like that's what he did. His occupation was he just bought and sold stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And so he had a little shop there in Cisco. And I was there one time and a man came in and my grandpa had a fiddle. And the man came in and started playing that fiddle, I guess. And I don't really even remember this. I must have been 9 at the time. And he played it and I heard it and I told my grandpa, I was like, I want to play that. I want to learn to play that. And my grandpa being, you know, the doting grandfather that he was, like, okay, I'll get you one. And he got that man to start teaching me how to play the fiddle.
Wow.
So he taught me how to play the fiddle. Everything I can play, I do by ear. I don't know squat about music theory or reading music or anything.
You're like a Jedi though, man. You use the force. You know,
I don't know. Russell sometimes will be doing a song on stage and he'll start modulating up to different keys and he can't figure out how I can can tell where to go.
The Force.
Because, yeah.
It's like when Luke is wearing that blast shield and he's fighting that little tiny thing that's shooting it at him and he's trying to, like, it's like that.
Maybe. I don't know. But I mean, that's how I learned to play, though. I mean, I learned to play by ear. I didn't have any, you know, tabs or anything or whatever. I mean, I've tried to learn stuff with tabs since then, I guess. But for the most part, I'm just...
Does it take twice as long
to learn about it on tabs? I still have to listen to the song.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't just look at stuff on a sheet, but... I learned to play the fiddle. That was my first instrument. At some point I taught myself how to play guitar. I really don't even remember how that happened. I just picking it up and I really don't just picking it up and messing with it. It's always like a puzzle to figure out, you know, like I want to figure out how to make it sound the way I want it to sound. I sit there and mess with it until I do. And I think that's really the difference. Really. Like I tried to teach a kid last summer. One of the things I was trying to do was make money. I tried to teach him. I had Zoom guitar lessons, and he's a very smart kid, but he wasn't really making much progress. And I think the difference is not about. I don't think it's about talent. It's just he didn't really care enough to practice.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't getting off the call with me and going over and sitting for 2 hours until he figured out how to do it. That was what I did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 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 You got to want to do it, man. There's that thing. So once you learn how to play fiddle, then how did rock and roll make its way into your, you learned guitar.
So I learned the fiddle. I learned to play the guitar a little bit. I messed around with banjo a little bit because I had a friend of a friend who played banjo. We had a band when we were 9 or 10 years old. We were called the Junior Country Express. So I played fiddle in that band. We had a singer and everything. But then at a certain point, I don't know how old I must have been, maybe 13, 14, something clicked, social, whatever, awareness of what it, you know, what was cool and what was not cool.
Right. Yeah.
As a kid. And I'm like,
Junior Country Express wasn't happening.
Yeah. I mean, oh man, we had like, we had shirts with it. We had shirts. It was okay. There was a regular, you know, the Pearl Snap shirts, and they had made designs on the back of our shirts with like glue and paint and stuff. Like it was really this over the top stuff that we had. But yeah, no, at some point I was like, that's not cool. I'm not going to have any girlfriends if I'm doing this. And, so I was like, I'm not going to do that anymore. And so for the most part, I still played the guitar cause somehow I thought that was cool. But I mean, I discovered rock, like, you know, I grew up, my mom listened to Elvis and the Beach Boys. That was pretty much the only rock type influences that I had. Oh, my dad really liked Creedence as well. But at some point my grandpa bought, you know, in his trading and exchanging that he bought this trailer that was owned by a DJ. And a DJ, like somebody who I guess was a DJ on a radio station, I guess, because he had all these tapes. And some of them were like promotional copies of whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I mean, it was like hundreds of tapes. And in this pile of tapes, I found things like Black Sabbath. I fell in love with Black Sabbath before I even knew who Ozzy was. And I'm not old enough to, have that. It shouldn't have been that way. It should have been the reverse.
Right.
But I came across Black Sabbath, Masters of Reality, and played that tape until I wore it out.
That's cool.
Because I loved it.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much where, I pretty much go to an extreme when it comes to some of that stuff. Like I listened to some really extreme metal.
You did?
I did. And I do still. Do.
Yeah.
So, like Sepultura was one of the first extreme bands that I came across. Yeah.
That band's awesome, man. Well, aren't they like Brazilian or something?
Yeah, they're Brazilian, and I think they still exist, but they don't even exist with the founding members anymore.
Oh, one of those bands. Cisco, one of those towns that like you're trying to get out of? Like, yeah, I'm not going to spend my life in Cisco.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember some of the first memories that I have as a self-aware person was like, I need to get out of here. So that was my goal. I don't know what I thought, you know, whatever kind of magic that existed on the outside of the city limits. Right. I don't know. But yeah, that's the kind of, like, there's a reference to Cisco in Jack Ingram's country guy in Texas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's got a song called The Great Divide. And there's a line in it that says, you can drive 90 miles an hour on the highway straight through Cisco. The cops are all at the ball game and it's getting tight. And that's the kind of town Cisco is.
Yeah.
Friday night, they're all at the football game. There's, you know, crickets in the rest of the town. There's nothing going on. Yeah. So,
I grew up, I'm older than Jack, but his sister Julia was in my fourth grade class and we were on swim team together. And I remember Jack being around. Yeah, his sister was really pretty when we were kids. I haven't seen her since like sixth grade or seventh grade. Or no, wait, ninth grade. Yeah. Okay, so how did you get out and where'd you go?
Okay, so I went to, I was going to go to Texas Tech, and I had everything set up, ready to go. And then I found out that I could get a scholarship to go to UT at Austin. The choice was to go to Texas Tech with my friend and probably just waste 4 years of my life then be, you know, be a couple hundred thousand dollars in debt, or I could go to UT Austin where I knew no one, but I could get pretty much a free ride going there. So I went to UT Austin.
Did Austin blow your mind when you came here?
Oh man. Yeah. So there's a song on the 2018 album that I put out called Sidewalk Romance. And the line in that is, I could see coins in the shape of letters L, O, and V. She said, could you spare some change and make, make love on the sidewalk with me. And that was a true story, because walking on the drag on Guadalupe next to campus, it's not this way anymore, but back in 2000, whenever I came to Austin, there were drag rats, we called them.
Yeah.
The homeless kids all over down there.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where my actual experience made its way to a song. Just walking on the sidewalk, this girl was spelling out love in coins, and she asked me if I could help her make love on the sidewalk with coins. And that just stuck with
That's
me
amazing.
For 20 years almost, you know. I was like,
I love that.
But yeah, it blew my mind. I'd never seen homeless people before. So yeah, that was just one of the many things, you know, like one of the guys who befriended me when I first showed up in the dorm. I think he was probably the first openly gay person I ever met.
Sure.
You know, it's like a lot of stuff you don't experience in a small town, West Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not a lot of openness in those places.
No way. And I thought, you know, you grow up in those places thinking that everyone everywhere is that way.
Yeah.
And then you discover they're not. So
that's always that thing about sort of that microcosm of whatever place you're in is its own universe and stuff. And you step outside and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So did you start going out and seeing music and stuff? Is that when you first saw Andy around that time or?
No, actually. So I went and saw music. I didn't meet Andy until a few years later when I was playing in my own band, and the band that he was in was Dork Star. Great name, right? He was in this band called Dork Star with Russell. And that's when I met Andy. But I, you know, when I first came to Austin, we would go out to shows, and we were seeing. So some of the favorites at the time were my favorite of the time was Ultrasonic. Do you remember the band Ultrasonic?
I remember that name. I'm sure I saw them at some point.
Okay, yeah, they were active for a few years. Taxi Haskell is their drummer. He still plays
Taxi.
Around.
I love Taxi.
But let's see, who else we see? I mean, like Podunk. Who else am I thinking of?
It's kind of that whole family of bands. Like, I feel like all those guys, like Justin and Nevesky from Blue October, Paul Sarosky, and all those cats are all kind of like Dwight, and that whole like family of dudes.
Right.
I think of them.
Yeah.
As
so
family.
I mean. Yeah. I saw those guys playing on stage. Thought it was fantastic. That was actually kind of really what made me want to do it.
Yeah.
But I was too chicken to do it for a long time. Like, as far as I took it, really, is me and a friend of mine we wrote songs in his bedroom and played them at open mics. You know, occasionally. It wasn't until after I graduated college that I actually put together a band. But we played, and it was funny. Blue October, the first time I ever even heard of Blue October, we went to see, how can I forget, Bowling for Soup.
Oh, yeah.
Bowling for Soup. Me and my friends followed Bowling for Soup all over.
Really?
Texas. All over Texas, yeah. Like, I got pictures from 20 years ago, over 20 years ago,
you know,
when I was
guys?
Hanging out with them. I don't know them personally. I mean, I thought, you know, they're the kind of guys who... will make you feel like you know them.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They're just so freaking friendly.
Yeah.
So yeah, we pretty much felt like we were buddies because we saw them everywhere. Like, I saw them play at the Metro one time and there was nobody there. It was like five
here
people
in town?
There. Yeah.
I remember
it was
that
at
place,
the Metro.
You know, yeah, yeah.
It turned into the Dirty Dog.
Yeah.
That's the same place for the Dirty. They knocked out a wall or something and made it, put a bar there, I think. But, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the first time I saw Blue October there, I'd seen either the Nixons or Bowling for Soup or somebody had played, and we were about to leave, and about midway through the set that we were there to watch, people started pouring in. People started showing up. And before the band that we were there to see got off stage, it was packed, wall to wall. We're like, what is going on? We got to see who this is. And so my first even awareness of Blue October was seeing them at the Metro, a live show at the Metro where they packed it out and put on a hell of a show. I mean, they got their fiddle player up there that does that, or used to anyway, do those mid set like solos where would just 10 minutes or something of just like shredding.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. So you were around for that early 2000s, scene that was going on here.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that I probably saw you play a show or two, but I can't remember for sure.
I remember hanging out with Sarosky and hanging out with Dwight Baker a lot in those times. I hanging out with the Nixons a lot. I used to hang out with Jared a lot because my band Gowdy did a lot of shows with Bowling for Soup.
Okay.
And I know Justin and Matt from Blue October pretty well. Well, I know Matt really well. I know Justin. I mean, Justin and I are friends, but... those bands that was just sort of that class of, I mean, I guess I was part of that too, like that sort of like group of people. It's weird that I always exclude my, I always think nobody liked me. That's always like, do you do that? Do you walk, like, oh, nobody likes me in that scene.
I don't even know that I fit into a scene, Johnny, but
that's the same. Yeah, you know, no, I wonder if Justin walks around going like, nobody likes, I think, you know, actually he does. I had this conversation with him a long time ago before he became sober, in a very late hour about how everybody hates us. Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. They're like a family favorite around here. My entire family. We were going to go to that show tonight. But I can't go. I'm trying to. Nobody's offered to buy the tickets yet, but I can't go because I can't take him. I can't take Mason. And I can't
go without him.
Going to.
Yeah.
Well, I just really, I'm intimidated about going in places with crowds right now.
Right, right, of course.
Because we don't know yet how his counts are going to be. He only did his first round of treatment this past week.
Okay.
So we just don't know. So I'm trying to, you know, like I was nervous playing that show on Saturday. I snuck in the side door, got on stage, and snuck off. Like, yeah. I was gone.
Yeah, being in the audience would be a little bit different than being on stage. You know, at least you got the space.
Yeah. Right.
I have a gig on Friday and won't be able to come to Steamer Lane, but I do encourage everyone to come out the day that this drops, September 10th, Friday, September 10th, Steamer Lane in Cedar Park. You can get tickets for tonight's Jason Harrell show at steamerlanemusic.com. Just letting the audience know. It's a quick little plug or commercial.
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
I like
everyone,
it. Thank you.
Everyone, make sure you party. So you're still recording new stuff. You said you just did a tune with Andy. Are you going to release a single or something?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. So, I just put the album out. So I was like sprinkling singles out through the spring. I think the first one we put out was in February, I think. That was I Hope She Dies. And so I put four singles out, and then I put the whole album out. I think it was July 18th is when I put it out. Mm-hmm. But I've got two songs done since then. And I've got another one that we're going to start working on within the next week or two. And so I'm trying to decide if I want to just do singles, or if I want to put together a little EP. I don't know.
It's weird now, isn't it?
I mean, like, I want to be the kind of guy that just puts out albums. But I also know that I've gotten far more, you know, as minimal as my impact is, I've had far more attention by releasing singles.
Yeah.
Because with the streaming services, you get put on those new release radars and things like that, and you have opportunities to pitch your singles to all the, you know, the Spotify playlists and all that stuff. And if you release an entire album, you only still get that one chance.
Yeah.
So
I know that you're not a fan of social media, and you look, I'm not a fan of social media, but it's like no way to not do it. And I lived in the time of like, before there was email, like, you know, my first band that I was trying to get people to come to the show and shit was like in 1985. And then like, once I had like a real band in the early 90s, like we had a fucking mailing list. And if your gig canceled, or if you got a gig on like Thursday, like if it was like today and I got a gig tomorrow, there was no way to let anybody know you got this unless you started calling everyone you knew from your house. You know what I mean?
Right.
So there was no cell phones either. But in the social media world, what I was going to say as far as like releasing music, I've released an EP and then I've just released singles since 2018. And the reason for that is that I know that the way that people are seeing things is in one posting on their newsfeed and it goes by. So you can either put 10 songs in that thing or put one and at least get like that real estate every time you put out a song. You know what I mean? It's real weird because I don't know a lot of people that aren't musicians and older that sit around listening to whole records anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, I do, but I, you know, like you said, that aren't musicians.
I do too, but you know, I noticed this one thing. I'll listen to whole records when I'm prepping for a podcast. I put it on, like I listened to your records today, but you just put it on. You're doing stuff. And you go back like, what's that song? Go back and listen to it again. Like, this guy isn't mean. He isn't like a deaf guy. He wrote the Change My Mind song. So, I do that, but I noticed in June, I actually started, like, I realized I just wasn't listening to fucking records at all.
Yeah.
Like, as just pure enjoyment. And so I started doing this thing where, like, when I start making dinner, I just pick a record right then and listen to it from start to finish. It's a hard habit to get into, and it's very hard to not go, oh, yeah, that song. Oh, yeah, it reminds me of this other. And then you're like, nope, don't do it.
Right. Well, and there's a value to the way you can do it on the Spotify and the streaming services where you can do like a song radio or whatever, and you'll find stuff that you didn't know about.
Exactly.
Because their algorithms or whatever are smart enough to know to put a song on that you might like, and then you find that one you like, and then you go listen to that album that you know, that artist did, and you think, you know, you've discovered somebody you didn't know about before. So I don't know, man. It's like I said, I in my mind, I would love to have an album that people sit down and listen to, but in reality, it's probably not going to be that way. And I don't, I'm really like, what am I trying to say? I'm really attached to the songs that I write, and I hate that something might get lost at the end of an album.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody only listened to maybe one or two songs in the whole album and then moved on. Like, so yeah, I don't know. I may be convincing myself right now not to do that EP route that I,
who knows, man. I mean, I don't know if I, to me, that's like, you got to find out what works best for you and your audience. But the fact of the matter is that I think you write great songs, and this record, The Other Side, is ready to be played in places. You ever go to KWVH, that radio station in Wimberley? Mm-hmm. There's a guy on there named Coach, and he's got a show called, I bet he would totally have you on, man. And people listen to that show a lot. Yeah. And he has a lot of country, he had me on there once, but he has a lot of country-oriented artists and Americana artists on there.
Okay. Yeah, no, Johnny, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know who... who
well,
to reach
thing
out
is,
to.
Is, right. And that's the fucked up thing about now, right? In a time before, in the 80s or the 90s, you know, you could go like, there's managers. They fucking hear your songs. They're like, shit, man, you don't know what to do. Just keep on writing the songs. And I know what to do. And now it's that whole thing has been so democratized that in some ways a guy can make a record in his closet and put it out right away if he wants. But the bad side of that is that the business is fractured in a way where you don't have people rally behind you anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean that's it entirely, because there's no money to pay those guys who would otherwise be, you know, there's no money coming in to help develop those artists and to get them out.
20% of your music career, or my music career right now, my original music career, is not anybody's bread and butter in any way.
Right.
To
yeah.
say the least.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, man, I mean, the thing is that, I mean, I'm sorry to keep saying it, but like you are, at least you got the stuff that you got. At least you don't have some shit ass, you're not a crappy songwriter. You know what I mean? With all this money behind you going to radio, at least you got the good stuff.
Yeah.
You just need the other half to come up and it'll be great.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It would be nice to have that, but if I don't have it, you know, I'll keep making songs. I'll probably just keep making songs with Andy, putting them out to the dozen people that like to listen to it. And
well, that dozen will share it with another dozen, hopefully.
Yeah, there
you
go.
It'll work like it does.
You know, I got the other thing that I've tried to do this year is music videos. I did. I don't know if you saw the video for
I
Hope She Does. Okay, there's a video.
Okay,
that's okay. There's a video. You should watch it. Okay. And because you talk about this impression of being a mean guy or whatever in the listening to the song. Well, the video does nothing to tamper down the idea that I'm a bad guy, because it's very dark.
Okay, I should have watched it because I read something that your mom doesn't like it, right?
Yeah, she doesn't like the song either, but the video... Like, I don't know if you see some of the images on my social media, like my background on Twitter or whatever. It's like a shovel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's
yeah,
from it.
That's where that. Yeah, yeah. And that one was great because it was great for me because I, you know, it's about like I happen to know people, you know, and I know this guy who is like he was doing wedding videos and stuff, and he had done a handful of music videos, but he's the kind of guy, I've known him for a long time. And he's the kind of guy that pretty much everything that he does, every kind of project or new hobby or whatever that he picks up, he becomes the best at it. Like, he just becomes an expert in it. I mean, like, he built Joe Rogan's podcast, both of the recent ones.
He
built
his
podcast studios. Yeah, the what is it, like the spaceship one that he built, and then the newer one, he did that one too. So But anyway, I had been talking to another friend saying I wanted to do this music video, and my friend was like, "Hey, you should check with Matt. Matt said he was looking to do something to put it on his portfolio, a music video." So I reached out to him. It's like, "Hey, you want to do this?" And again, I won't say how much it cost, but it's ridiculous how affordable it was.
Yeah, there's stuff out there. I mean,
it looks like the kind of thing that I would have invested $10,000-$15,000 in. You know, it looks that good.
Well, that's great, man. Okay, I'll put a link to it on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page and stuff. But is there anything else I'm missing? I mean, I'm sure I'm missing a lot, but it's been really great talking to you. You really are a fucking really talented artist. Like,
thank you.
Yeah.
No, I mean I appreciate you having me on. I like I appreciate the fact that you're putting the time into doing this for other musicians as well. Like, I've been listening to your podcast. I mean, it's freaking great. Like,
thank
I just
you,
am getting inside the mind of all these other people who are out there trying to do it also. And like, you know, you having the guy who's still doing the thing on Sixth Street. And then you're also having the guys who like,
dude had Sticks on last week.
Gary P. Yeah. Sticks. And Gary P. Nunn, right?
Gary P. Nunn just had him on. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that little window really where I could sit down with people face to face and talk. There was like a little window there. It was really nice. It's back in business.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully we can get through this and do that again.
Yeah. Hopefully so. Well, Jason, man, it's been great talking to you. People, get out there tonight, September 10th, Steamer Lane in Cedar Park. Go to steamerlanemusic.com to get tickets. And check out this record, The Other Side, mixed by our friend Andy McIntyre. And check out the video for I Hope She Dies. It's a great, great record, man. And I wish you a lot of luck with what's your son's name?
Mason.
Mason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Prayers for Mason, man. I hope.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can imagine that's something that weighs heavy on you guys.
Oh yeah. And we've got about a year of this to look forward to. And hopefully, I mean, this is the third time he's gone through it. So hopefully this will be the last that they can knock it out and not have to come back around to it. But
yeah.
Anyway, he's doing all right for now, though. He's rotten. He's still cracking jokes and everything.
Good.
So good. Hopefully, we can maintain that for. Anyway.
Good, man. Well, I wish you guys luck, and I'll do what I can to help spread the word about your music.
Awesome. Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, I hope she dies inside. Yeah, I hope she cries.
That's Jason Harrell. His album, The Other Side, is available now wherever it is you stream and download your jams. Find him at jasonrayharrell.com. And also, if you're listening to this show the day that it comes out, Friday, September 10th, he will be playing at Steamer Lane in Cedar Park. Go to steamerlanemusic.com. Doors are at 7:30. Show is at 8. I'll put a link to that in the body of the text of this podcast. Don't forget, when you're out there checking out jasonrayharrell.com, you can always subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever. It's everywhere, man. Just wherever you find your podcast, new shows every Tuesday and every Friday. I drop sometimes 3 shows a week. Sometimes I do the From the Vault series where I bring out old ones because the show is now over a decade old and we have over 1,080 shows. You can follow us on Facebook, How Did I Get Here? You can follow me on socials, Instagram, Johnny Gowdy, or Twitter at Johnny Gowdy as well. But go to our Facebook page. How Did I Get Here? Like it. If you're on the Facebook, get on there and you can see photos of my beautiful dog Rosie and also keep up with the show and what's going on with guests. All right. I hope you guys have a good weekend, whatever it is you're doing. And I hope you have a great weekend. Talk to you guys next week. Let's get down.
I lift her in pieces. She said she gets her strength from Jesus. I don't think he's got a thing to do with it. No, I'm not the man she says I am. She can lie all day, I don't give a damn. Me and Jesus know she's full of shit. I could tell you that I want her to hurt. But I admit sometimes what I want is worse. 'Cause I hope she dies inside. Never be enough, 'cause I hope she does.